All right, today's date is September 28th, 2012. Time is 0535 hours. My name is Sergeant Jose Gonzalez. I am in interview room number 2 of professional standards. I'll go ahead and start with the advisements. I am conducting an administrative investigation into the shooting incident in which you have been involved. Also present in this interview is Sergeant Claiborne, Officer Greg Stiles, and your representative. Is that correct?
Yes.
And, Greg, what's your badge number?
2774.
Okay, and we're all aware that the interview is being recorded, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
During this investigation, I will be gathering facts and looking at the circumstances which led up to the shooting incident. At the conclusion of the investigation, the administration will review the incident to determine if department policy has been followed. You are admonished that if any information is obtained either during the investigation or during the administrative review that indicates you have violated any department orders, rules, regulations, policies, or procedures, you could be subject to disciplinary action. Do you understand?
Yes.
I am giving you a direct order not to discuss this investigation or your interview with anyone other than your recognized representative or myself or as compelled by law or legal proceeding. Failure to obey this order could result in charges and possible termination. Do you understand?
Yes.
Due to the nature of this administrative investigation, Government Code Section 3303H requires me to advise you of your rights. Therefore, it is important that you understand that criminally, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say may be used against you in court. You have the right to an attorney before and during questioning. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you before questioning if you wish. Do you understand each of these rights that I have explained to you?
Yes.
With these rights in mind, would you like to speak to me now?
On advice of counsel, I'm directing my client not to waive his rights. Say no.
No.
While you have the right to remain silent with regard to any criminal investigation, you do not have the right to refuse to answer my questions administratively. This is an administrative investigation. I am therefore ordering you to answer all of my questions fully and honestly. If you refuse to answer my questions, your silence can be deemed insubordination and result in administrative discipline up to and including termination. Any statement you make under compulsion of the threat of such discipline cannot be used against you criminally, nor in any civil proceeding except in limited circumstances. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay. Prior to getting into the incident in which you were involved, Greg, I'll go ahead and kind of do a brief inventory of your uniform. Do you mind just standing up so I can go through and describe it for the record? You're wearing your Class C 511 uniform, which is short sleeve, shoulder patches. You also have a metal nameplate over the right breast pocket, your duty badge over your left breast pocket, and you have a Motorola microphone affixed to the center of your shirt. Going down, you're also wearing your department-issued leather Sam Brown duty belt. And then starting from the left side of your buckle, a double magazine pouch, a taser and its case, a taser and the case, and then there's a baton ring. Then you have your pack set and your pack set case, flashlight, and holder. And then continuing to the right side of your back, you have a single cuff case, followed by the Safari Land duty holster with the light. And then you have a leather hush key keeper. And then you have a single key affixed to a clip. Then we'll continue down. You've got your 511 trousers with a knife affixed to the left pants pocket and leather duty boots. Is this how you were dressed during the incident?
Yes.
And did Orange County Sheriff's Department Crime Lab employees come and take photographs of you and document your condition?
Yes.
And did they take custody of your weapon and do an inventory of the rounds in it?
Yes.
Okay. And are you wearing a vest?
Yes.
And were you at the time?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We're good there. And, Greg, at the time of the incident, were you carrying a recording device?
No.
Okay. And were you carrying or do you carry a backup weapon?
Yes.
And were you carrying it at the time of the incident?
Yes.
And where is the backup weapon kept?
In my left pants pocket, the cargo pocket.
The left cargo pocket?
Yes.
And what make and model is that?
It's a Smith & Wesson 649, I believe it was. Five-shot revolver in stainless steel.
It's the, okay.
38.
38, there you go.
And the Orange County Sheriff Department Crime Lab inventoried that as well.
They did inventory that as well. Okay, did they didn't take that, or did they take that?
No, they just photographed.
Just photographed and inventoried, okay. And when did you begin your shift?
1800 hours on 27th.
Okay.
September.
All right. And did anything unusual happen during the shift prior to the shooting incident?
No.
Okay. Now, with that in mind, I have here the event details for the incident that you responded to, the shooting there on Wisteria. For the record, the document that I'm providing you is under PAPA 12091-1687, in which it shows that it's a 925 call at 514 East Wisteria Place. That's here for you to refer to. With that incident in mind, tell me about it in your own words. Provide as much detail as you can, and what will end up happening is if there's any follow-up questions, we'll come back and address those down the line. But in your own words, tell us what happened.
Received this call with Officer Majors as the follow. I drove to that location, approaching, I believe it was initially on Camden off of Main Street to Maple Street. I went north on Maple and stopped just short of Wisteria, just south of Wisteria on Maple Street. I got Officer Majors on Green Talk Around, asked where he was to determine his distance to me, response time. I had just prior to arriving on scene, I had reviewed the call, noting that, you know, it was a man with a gun in the front yard, and that there was an additional comment on the call that they had checked and verified that the guy was still at the location, you know, in addition to the primary call. So kind of put me in a heightened awareness that this person was possibly still there. So I got Officer Majors off channel on Green Talk Ground, asked where he was. He said he was on Orange, headed north on Orange from McFadden. And I told him that I was on Maple just short of Wisteria. I told him to stand by where he was as he came up to Wisteria on Orange. And I told him I was going to get out on foot and take a look down the street to see if I could see anything. I parked my car on Maple just short of Wisteria there. Got out. I walked up to the corner house, which is on the southeast corner of Wisteria and Maple. I looked down the street the best I could. I knew, due to my map in my car, that the target location was four houses east of Maple on the south side of Wisteria. So I looked down in that direction the best I could. It was really dark down there, and I couldn't see anything just because of the trees and landscaping on the street. I stepped all the way out into the street behind a van that was near the corner, and to get a better angle to look, you know, onto the lawn and front yard of the house to see if I could see anything, and I didn't see anything, any movement down around there or out on the street. So I reported that to Officer Majors, started to walk back to my car, and as I approached my car, Corporal De Barsenia and Officer Romero pulled up behind my car on Maple Street. At that point, I told Officer Majors to stand by a minute, that they were pulling up, and that we'd get some kind of a plan together and possibly go in on foot instead of just driving in. So I made contact with the corporal and just briefly told him that, you know, I didn't see anybody down the street and what the general call was. And he suggested that we have officer majors come around to us and that we would walk in. So I relayed that to officer majors. He began to drive around. Corporal De Barcina called Officer Sarabia, who was also en route, and told him that he was going to have him position himself to the east of us off of Wisteria, which I believe was Oak. Yeah. And he did that. At about that time, Officer Majors pulled up behind our cars on Maple. The four of us, myself, Corporal De Barcina, Officer Romero, and Officer Majors all walked to the corner of the residence at the southeast corner of Maple and Wisteria. We went to the corner of that residence. We all began looking down to the east towards the target residence to see if we could see anything. We began discussing a plan to approach the house. Corporal De Barcina was asking dispatch for a clearance on Green 2, I believe it was, to deal with this, and we were waiting for Officer Sarabia to confirm that he was in position over on Oak. While we were doing those things, I initially saw movement at approximately the target house. All I could see was a silhouette of a head moving around, you know, over the bushes and stuff in all the yards. Told everybody I see someone moving around, so we all kind of were looking. Corporal Leo Garcia was making the notifications to dispatch. And as we were doing this, I saw, and I know other officers relayed, that they had seen people moving in the yard and in the street. And what we initially saw was a person run from the target house north across Wisteria towards the sidewalk on the north side of the street. It was very dark over there, and we couldn't make out really anything about the people, clothing or anything, and all we could barely see was silhouettes moving in the shadows, so we could kind of tell that they were still on the north side of the street. We also did see what we believed was a female go across the street, and that was just based on, we saw long hair on the person, but that was about it, so we figured it was a female moving. Eventually, a third person came and moved across the street, and that person was wearing a white T-shirt. Some of this information I know I relayed back to dispatch on Green 2, that we could see people moving in the yard, and that at least one of them had a white shirt on. At that point, we were kind of just watching to see what we could see. These people moved into really dark shadows in that target location area of the street, and we really couldn't see what they were doing, so we were kind of more observing what was going on and trying to get a handle on what was going on. Again, we were making notifications to dispatch, calling for additional units and things like that. As all these things were being done, we noticed people started to walk west towards us on the north sidewalk of Wisteria. We noted to each other that, hey, they were walking this way. They walked, then there was a pause in their movement, and then they walked some more. And so as we were all kind of letting, hey, they're coming this way, because I know myself had stepped back to call the dispatch, and I know Officer or Corporal De Barcina had stepped back from the corner. We weren't all at the same time watching, so those of us that were watching were kind of turning around and letting everybody else know what was going on, what we were seeing. So at some point, we all are told, hey, they're walking this way. And we all kind of started looking and watching them walk west on the north sidewalk of Wisteria. Eventually, they moved in, or a single person moved into, I guess, the driveway area of the house on the northeast corner of Wisteria. That first house and second house, there's a driveway, and the person moved into the street light. that was very well lit. Kind of came out of the shadows and walked into the light. It was a male with black hair, no shirt on, wearing like blue basketball type shorts. And he was holding a pump action pistol gripped shotgun in both hands in front of him. We all acknowledged that the person had a gun, and we kind of scattered for cover. I moved to the west towards a couple trees that I saw in the yard, and I know Officer Majors and Officer Romero moved kind of straight ahead and slightly to the left, or what would be the east, behind a couple cars that were parked along the curb. I ended up moving all the way past the trees that I saw, and I moved across the street to a truck that was parked on the north curb line of Wisteria near the corner of Maple, and took cover behind the car, the front cab area of the car, looking over the bed and towards the male with a shotgun. As those movements were made, I noticed there was a female and a male black that was wearing a white t-shirt, was walking within close proximity behind the male. As we all took up our positions behind cover, immediately began yelling for the male to drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. I noticed the female and the male were talking to the male with the gun, and he was standing there and kind of swiveling back and forth, looking around at us and at the people that were talking to him. We all made commands to drop the gun. I made commands in Spanish to drop the gun. I know Corporal De La Barcena had moved into a position and was standing right behind me, behind the car. He also made commands in Spanish that to me sounded like he was telling him to drop the gun or put the gun down. The male with the gun didn't say anything. He appeared to acknowledge our presence there. He looked at all of us, but he didn't make any statements or anything like that. The female was talking to him and appeared upset. The male black was talking to him, and I heard him say something to the effect of, these guys aren't playing games. You're doing something really stupid right now.
Okay.
The male and the female stepped closer to him as we moved into our positions, and they were kind of trailing behind. When we kind of got in our positions and started yelling at him to drop the gun, the male and female kind of stepped in closer to him, and we started yelling for them to get back. You know, there's a lot of chaos. We were all yelling at him to drop the gun, and then we were yelling at them to step back and to stay back. And they did end up stopping their progress and stepping back a few more steps. But other than that, they stayed within a maybe 20-foot distance from him. The female was in the street several feet south of the north curb line. The male was standing on the sidewalk area or grass next to the curb, not in the street. I heard the female say, "That's my son. It's not loaded." And then, again, we were just continually yelling for him to drop the gun and drop the gun and drop the gun. Again, all this was kind of going on. The male was looking around. When I got into my position, I locked on him, and I noted that the gun, the foregrip, it looked like to be a pump-action shotgun. The action was closed. He had his hand on the foregrip. He had his left hand on the foregrip. He had his right hand on the pistol grip, and he had his finger on the trigger. So the gun appeared completely real and in a position to fire. When that's the way I noted it when I came up behind the car. I was pretty close to him, probably 25 feet or so from my position. I know that just based on the yelling and peripheral vision, I know that I believed that Officer Majors and Officer Romero were behind one of those vans that were on the south side of the street directly across from the male with the gun. So from my position, I had a clear line of fire with a good backdrop behind him. I considered moving at that time just because of my proximity to him with the shotgun, but I felt that it would have been unsafe because I didn't want, at that point, was too close to retreat across no cover area in the street. And, there really was no other cover options at that point other than to move to the front of the truck that I was at. But I knew that would have placed the male black in my line of fire down the sidewalk at the suspect. So I didn't move. I stayed where I was at. I considered a taser as an option. However, again, my close proximity to him with a shotgun, and I was not certain or confident that I was within range to use the taser or attempt to use the taser. So I did not try that. We were all yelling at him to drop the gun, and at that point, he was looking back and forth, kind of looking around. It's a couple times he took his hands off of a firing position on the shotgun, and he grabbed the middle of the shotgun with his right hand, I believe it was, and he like rubbed his head and scratched his head, and he appeared to get emotional and maybe tear up, is the way I saw it. So he appeared to be distraught to me, and maybe starting to get confused, or I don't know. It's just he appeared to be distraught, and I don't know what he was thinking. Everybody was asking him to put the gun down. I remember Corporal De La Barcinha telling him to put the gun down, that we were there to help him. He never said anything verbally. He never made any attempt to drop the gun. And after holding the gun in the middle of the shotgun, he returned it to a position where he was able to fire it with his hand on the foregrip. He put his right hand back on the pistol grip with his finger on the trigger. He turned the gun several times in the general direction of Officer Majors and Officer Romero. And in general, he what we would consider lasering the male and the female as he turned and looked around. Ultimately, after him not complying, not acknowledging, he appeared to become increasingly upset or distraught. I don't know how other to describe it. Leveled the shotgun in the direction of Officer Majors with his finger on the trigger. And Mongo, it was in straight across in that direction. It seemed to be a little bit more of a deliberate action other than just turning around, and he just had this look about him that was distraught and uncertain, and at that point I felt he was going to fire on Officer Majors and Officer Romero, and I fired.
So, how many times did you fire?
I believe it was 2 to 3 times.
Okay, all right. And we'll get to that. We'll kind of back up and go from the beginning, so let you kind of gather your thoughts. So, what time did you get dispatched to this call?
Referring to the dispatch log, I was dispatched at 22:42 hours.
So you get the call, clearly on there you're reading, it says that it's, a 925 call with a possible male, a male that's possibly armed with a gun, correct?
Yes.
So you arrive on scene, you approach from the south stage on Maple, south of Wisteria.
Yes.
And then you're coordinating with Officer Majors, who was approaching, and then you had said that you had left your vehicle after reading more about the call, and then tried to position yourself to see if you could identify or hear any activity, correct?
Yes.
Now, when you looked east, you initially said you were on the northeast corner, correct?
Southeast corner.
Excuse me, you're right, southeast corner. You're on the southeast corner, and you're looking east. Did you see anything?
Initially, no, I did not see anything.
Did you hear anything?
No.
So, as you're looking east, is it well lit, or is it...
It was very dark in the area of the call, the house that the call was located at. It was very dark. Most of that street in that area was very dark. The exception would be there was a street light on the... I believe the light was located on the northeast corner of Wisteria at Maple, and that illuminated a good portion of the northeast and southeast house and the street area right at that location. So where we were was very well illuminated by a street light. However, the target location and that portion of the street was very dark.
Okay, so you don't hear nothing, you don't see nothing. It's extremely dark, and you're focused on about four houses east because that's what the computer is showing, that's where the target location is, right?
Yes.
And what is the address of that location, if you recall?
I don't recall. The reason I don't recall the address location is because I have my map tracker on to my call, so I was basically following my tracker to the call. And when I actually got close enough to where I would have needed the map and I probably would have looked at the address, I didn't use the address mainly for tactical purposes because I counted houses to the address, and that's what I was using as my point of reference for when I got out to look down the street and advising majors of where I was and looking and where we were going to. So I didn't pay that much attention to the address, and I don't even know what the address is to where we're going.
So then based on the markings or indicators on the KDT map,
yes,
you knew that it was four houses east of Maple on Wisteria.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So that's the only thing that you were really concerned with, was that, hey, it's four houses east.
Yes.
So when you go on the corner, you're standing there, don't see nothing, don't hear nothing, you then move over kind of into the street, correct?
Yes.
And do you see or hear anything there?
No.
Okay, so then you retreat back to your vehicle. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you then begin to coordinate with Officer Majors. And then I believe you said that Officer Della Barcina and Officer Romero arrived shortly thereafter, correct?
As I turned to walk back to my car, Corporal Della Barcina and Officer Romero were pulling up behind my car.
Okay, so they arrived prior to Officer Majors physically arriving.
Yeah, the discussion I was having with him on the radio was, hey, I don't see anything. We'll just roll in there. Give me a minute to get back to my car. I turned around as I was walking back to my car. I said, well, you know what? Stand by right there. Corporal Della Barcina is pulling up. Let me see what they want to do. So he gets out. I kind of brief him on what's up with the call so far. And then he says, well, why don't you have Majors come around and we'll walk up. So okay. That was what was decided in relay.
So then you wait for Majors to arrive, and then all four of you then kind of approach the northeast corner again, correct?
Yeah.
Because you're staged south.
Yeah.
So you arrive. Where on the corner there are you positioned?
All four of us were located on the west side of the residence at the southeast corner. We were next to the front door. There's a little small porch area for the front door. Officer Romero actually went onto the porch and was looking around the corner of the porch to the east. And Majors, myself, and Corporal Della Barcina were actually on the west side of the house,
okay,
looking around the porch area to the east.
Okay, so then Officer Romero is just a tad bit further east on the porch area, and you guys are
just
west around the corner of the physical house.
Yes.
And everyone is focused east.
Yes.
At that point, are you still able to hear anything or see anything?
No. Initially, when we got to that position, we didn't hear. I did not hear or see anything.
Okay. And at what point do you see or hear something?
It was maybe maybe 2 minutes into us being on that corner. We were kind of coordinating with Officer Sarabia to come up on Oak at that time and and getting a clearance on Green 2. And for that couple minutes, we were standing there looking. We didn't see anything. And about, again, maybe 2 minutes into it is when I'm looking around the corner and I start seeing, like, a head move at about where our target location would be.
So a couple minutes go in, then you start seeing movement. Are you able to hear anything at that point? Any yelling, any talking, anything like that?
No.
Okay, so then you see the movement, and then at what point do you see the individuals on the south side or the individual on the south side transition to the north side?
Again, maybe just within a minute of initially seeing someone. Within a minute or so, we see somebody run across the street, and then it's another person ran across that we think is a female, and we can kind of see them moving over there, but we can't see them because it's so dark, and, you know, and then a half a minute maybe goes by, and we see the person in the white shirt go north across the street, and so it's just kind of progressing along in real short increments of half a minute to a minute, maybe, as we're starting to see movement, and we don't really exactly know what's going on, but we're kind of now, well, let's see what's going on. And at some point in here, I'm asking dispatch to call the CP back to see if he's, to try and confirm if he's seeing this movement too, and hey, what's going on. And I asked if they had him on the line. They said they did not, and asked for him to be called back, and so we could kind of confirm this movement. And are these the people that, you know, we're looking for? Is that who we should be watching? That conversation with dispatch never continued after that point, because this whole thing ended up moving too fast. And
so they all moved to the north. Mm-hmm. One individual first, followed by a female a few seconds, almost half minute, I think you said, after the female, and then after that, another person, a male, continues north, and then they're kind of hanging out on the north side, correct?
Yeah.
And then at some point, they start walking west.
Yes.
And they're on the north sidewalk.
Yes.
As they're walking west, what's going on with you? What are you doing?
It was during that short period of time that I was asking dispatch for, we were watching them. I was asking dispatch, you know, to try and get a hold of the CP to kind of confirm these movements and are these the people that we were looking for, if that was possible. I know Corporal Della Barsena was on the radio. I'm not exactly sure what he was doing, but this was all in the same time frame of trying coordinating perimeter units and stuff like that. And I know he was asking for more units and things like that. And at that time, I saw Officer Majors and Officer Romero were also looking at them moving. So I was kind of back and forth between watching them and talking, that's what I was doing at that time.
And then at some point, you said you had repositioned yourself from the southeast corner, or this, I guess, the west side of the southeast corner house, and you repositioned, correct?
Yes.
What prompted you to reposition yourself?
Basically, as the people on the north side moved farther west, our position where we were at was becoming exposed to them. We were all aware of that, or we all kind of told each other, like, hey, they're coming west. And at that point, when we were pretty much all exposed, we were all looking at them. And basically, the male without a shirt stepped out from the shadows, clearly holding a big black shotgun, and we all yelled, kind of all went gun, and scattered to positions of cover.
So then, it's safe to say that as they're moving from their original position on the north sidewalk west, you don't know what these who these individuals are or if they're armed, correct?
Correct.
And it isn't until the subject without a shirt continues west out of the shadows into a well-lit area that that everyone, but it's mainly you're able to recognize that he's armed with a shotgun.
Yes.
And then it's at that point where everyone's prompted to kind of scatter, and is that when you move to the position near the truck on the north side?
Yes.
So you're on the north side, You know what? Let's just do this now. So it'll be a little, probably a little easier since we're kind of in the moment. Here's a sketch that was prepared. Here's Maple Street. Here's Wisteria. Here's the southeast corner. Here's the northeast corner. And we didn't go all the way east, but mainly we were focused on here, which is where the scene occurred. Using my pen, the moment you notice that the individual has a shotgun, and you guys scatter, if you can recall, can you put X's where you and your partner officers are at, if you recall?
At the moment that we saw the shotgun?
Well, the moment you guys scatter and reposition.
Okay. It would have been approximately, I believe Officer Romero was still here. I believe Officer Majors was in front of me. I was about here, and Officer Della Barsina was... we were generally right in this area at the corner. I'm assuming this is the corner of the house, and this is the porch area? Is that correct?
Well, that driveway, the porch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to scale, but... Yeah, that's the corner house there, and that's the general rough sketch of what we were able to pick up.
Okay, well, this would be Officer Romero in the corner of the porch.
Okay.
And then we were generally right here at the corner of the house.
Put your initials next to you so that we know where you're at.
I would put myself... I know Officer Majors was in front of me, and Corporal Diversino was
okay, back. So then where is the... suspect when you first see that he has a gun. Now, let me give you some reference points here. The northeast corner house is 501 East Wisteria. There is a truck that's parked here. There's a tree, which is marked by T here, and there's an L, which is marked by a light pole. This area here with the squiggly line is the driveway and obviously the next property over. Where is the suspect when you see that he's armed?
He was on the north sidewalk walking westbound, and at some point just prior to the driveway of 501, just prior to the east of that is basically where that street light in front of 501 illuminates the sidewalk. So he came out from the shadows just east of the driveway for 501 Wisteria.
Okay, so then with just with a general area, doesn't have to be accurate. Let's mark his area with a circle.
Okay.
The suspect with a circle.
He was approximately right there.
Okay, now so you at this point, you're all stacked up on the southeast side. You guys can clearly see, especially you can see that he's armed with a shotgun. Just draw arrows to where everyone goes if you know.
I only know that, without this being the scale and exactly where these cars went to, I believe Officer Romero and, Officer Majors ran forward to the left and took cover behind one of these two cars, okay, depending on where their accurate depiction would be on the street. You want where I went to?
Yeah, go ahead.
I ran. There are two trees. Can I mark them on the
go
with
ahead.
The T?
Absolutely.
There were two large palm trees somewhere in the area of this lawn right here, and I ran towards those trees. I ended up running past them. My first instinct was to take cover behind those trees, but I, to be honest, I don't recall exactly why I ended up passing them up. I think it had to do with not having a clear line of sight, okay, and also wanting to get into a better shooting position from this side, knowing that Officer Romero and Officer Majors went in this direction. So okay, I ended up, without even a pause that I remember, running through these trees. And you want me to draw a line?
Yeah, go ahead and draw it, yeah.
Through these trees and across the street and taking up a position at the rear cab of this truck in front of 501.
Okay, let me use your pen real quick just so I don't get... So I'll put it right here. Officer Romero, and then I'll just put here for Majors. And this was Corporal Della Barcina, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, does this guy's position change? Does the suspect's position change once you guys all get into your new positions?
He continued to walk westbound during our movements. He turned to acknowledge the male and female as they came into the light, we saw the male and the female that were following him. As we made our movements and started yelling, he turned towards them, but continued, and ultimately by the time I landed in my position, he was standing on the sidewalk just west of the driveway. Okay. Of 501.
Let's go ahead and just draw a line and then, finish it off with a circle wherever he's at. Okay. So that's the suspect. Now, the male and the female, where are they at during this? If you can, we'll mark them with squares.
Okay. The best I could tell you is where they ended up being during, for the most part, the entirety of the incident. And that was when I moved into this position, the male with the shotgun was standing at this location just west of the driveway. The female was just in the street about 8 feet or so south of the north curb, somewhere about here. And the male black was on the sidewalk grass median area, okay. Just about right here. Just again, just east of the driveway. They did initially, when we began yelling commands, they kind of took 3 or 4 steps towards the male with the gun. And then as we yelled for them to back off and for him to drop the gun, they stepped back to where these positions are that I indicated on.
Okay.
The map with squares.
Just put your female. Okay, so individual shows up with a shotgun. You're able to recognize it because he walks into the light, literally walks into an area that's illuminated. You and your partners then scatter into your new positions. You take a position over here by a vehicle that's parked on the north curb. The suspect continues to walk west on the sidewalk. And is he still holding the shotgun with his right hand affixed to the pistol grip?
Yes.
And the left hand on the pump action portion of the shotgun?
Yes, that was his position with the gun from the point that I saw him emerge from the shadows to where we all landed in our positions. And he landed at his final position, and we were all yelling at him to drop the gun. And he maintained that grip for the first, I don't know, handful of seconds of the contact as we yelled at him to drop the gun and for them to get back and stuff. That was his initial position with the gun.
So how long would you estimate then that you were giving him commands initially?
We gave him commands the entire time. Throughout up into the shooting, but the initial contact, I would say probably 15 to 20 seconds maybe.
And are you guys calmly, quietly giving him commands, or are you guys elevated in your tone and in the way you're speaking to him?
We were elevated, and initially probably just because of the distance that they traveled in relation to me. Officer Romero and Officer Majors started yelling commands first. When I landed at my position behind the car, or behind the cab of the truck, my first thought, because he was not verbally acknowledging or really reacting to our presence and our commands, that possibly he didn't understand us, and that's when I tried giving a couple commands in Spanish to see if those had any effect. And they didn't. He didn't change his reaction at all, really.
Now, you said that he had the gun. He was firmly gripping it. Was it, which direction was the muzzle pointed?
initially, it was he was what we consider muzzling the male and female. But, you know, within a matter of seconds of us taking up our positions, he was holding it with his right hand on the pistol grip and his left hand on the pump, so the gun was pointed in to his off to his left. When he turned in my direction to look at me, the muzzle of the gun was generally pointing south across the street in the direction of Officer Romero and Majors. So as he turned around looking, he was pointing the gun at the male and the female. He was pointing the gun in the general direction. And initially at those times, again, I immediately noticed that the gun, the action was closed and his finger was on the trigger during those even very first initial movements where he muzzled, you know, all the, you know, Officer Majors and Romero and the male and the female at the scene.
Now, when he's muzzling individuals, you're saying that he's actually, the gun, as he's turning around and repositioning his body, the tip of the shotgun is actually pointing at these individuals.
Yes.
And now, is it angled kind of in an upward motion where the muzzle's pointing kind of up at an angle towards the sky, or is it angled down towards the street?
He moved it into all those positions. Okay. His arm positioning I would describe as generally relaxed, kind of. The gun was kind of hanging down a little bit. During some of the turns, the gun was level. Sometimes it was tipped up a little bit, and sometimes it was tipped down a little bit as he turned and looked at everybody in those first, you know, 15 or 20 seconds or so of the contact, and throughout the contact.
And so you guys are telling him, drop the gun in English and in Spanish.
Yes. Also, right after I landed at my final position, like I said, Officer Majors and Officer Romero started yelling commands for, I think that was just the time that it took me to run across the street. I acknowledged that possibly it was a language issue. I yelled in Spanish, and right after I started yelling in Spanish, I heard Corporal De La Barcina right behind me. I could feel him up against my back, and he, that is when he started yelling and giving commands in Spanish also.
Okay. And is the suspect complying with those commands?
No.
And then what does he do after the first initial session? Is he still continuing, or does he change his position with the...
Again, he never moved from that spot, that last final spot that I've indicated here. But again, after that first initial 20 or so seconds where we're all yelling at him, giving him commands, we're yelling at the male and the female to get back, we give him commands in Spanish, he's turning and acknowledging our presence, but he's not saying anything, and he's muzzling everybody. Mm-hmm. I can see his finger on the trigger, the gun's in a firing position. And again, after that first 20 seconds, that's about the time when he kind of grabbed the front of the gun, the middle of the shotgun with his right hand, and he scratched his head or rubbed his head. The male and the female were talking to him and made those statements.
Which were?
The female, I don't recall. I only recalled her saying, "That's my son. The gun's not loaded."
Okay.
And the male made a statement, something to the effect of, like, they're here now, they're not going to fool around, something to that effect. And he said, again, something to the effect, it had the word stupid in it, "You're doing something really stupid right now."
What did that mean to you, or what did that make you start thinking upon hearing those statements?
It appeared that this person was maybe distraught. Some kind of a family problem, I don't know, but just that they appeared distraught and unpredictable.
Okay, and so after he repositions and he's still kind of turning around, looking around at everyone, how long does he do that before he repositions his grip again?
It was just... I would say maybe 5 seconds. I mean, it was literally just enough for time for him to grab the middle of the gun, rub his head a couple times, and then reposition his hands. And when he repositioned his hands, he put his right hand on the grip and his finger on the trigger again.
And you had said that his actions this time, you know, after he rubs his head, seemed a little more deliberate.
Well, he did that, I believe, twice.
Okay.
There was just a short time in between where he grabbed the gun in the middle and he rubbed his head, and then he repositioned his hands, and he kind of looked around at all of us. I remember I had my light on him on the tip of my gun, and I remember him looking towards me, and I just remember getting the feeling that he was somehow kind of focusing on me, and I thought maybe it was because of my light, because he could clearly see my light shining at him from maybe a short distance away, and I just felt like he knew where I was, so he maybe was keying in on me, or upset with me. I don't know. It's just the look he gave me when he looked over. You know, he kind of breezed past Majors and Romero across the street, but when he looked toward in my direction, he kind of stopped and kind of gave me a good look before he went back to the male and the female and just kind of generally looking around. But he took up that pistol grip position. He grabbed the middle, rubbed his head. He took up that pistol grip position again with his finger on the trigger. He looked around again for a moment, and then at some point he had something in his back waistband area that was silver. I saw it. My concern was that it was a secondary gun, and I think what drew my attention to it was that he reached for it at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what happened with that other than that whatever the item was, I acknowledged that it wasn't a weapon, and he went back, you know, after reaching for that or whatever it was, he went back to that pistol grip with his finger on the trigger. And it was at that time, after that second motion, where he grabbed it and he turned towards Officer Majors. And again, he seemed to have a heightened sense of anxiety about him. Like I said, at one of those points where he was scratching his head or something, he started to tear up and it looked like maybe he was crying. So obviously he was unstable emotionally. Mm-hmm. And again, that last time he put his hand on the grip with his finger on the trigger, he seemed to have like a heightened anxiety about him, which caused me great concern. Not figuring if he was unstable, this seemed to be more of an indicator that I didn't know what he was going to do. And when he turned the gun towards Officer Majors, this time it was his hand. The best I could describe it was that his arms weren't in such a relaxed state, and he pointed it straight at them with his finger on the trigger, and that's what caused me to fire.
So when he raised the gun this last time, his arms weren't relaxed, and the weapon was raised, is it safe to say, with some purpose?
He brought it and leveled it on him. You know, I can't say that he raised it as, you know, like this, in a motion where he brought, you know, sights to his eyes.
Okay.
But it was down kind of towards his waist, but he turned it towards him, and again, his arms didn't have that relaxed, you know, look to him like they initially had. His finger was on the trigger, the gun barrel was level at his waist, and he turned it towards them. And again, that with what seemed to be his heightened state of anxiety, and that's why I fired.
And how many times did you fire?
I thought 2 to 3.
Okay. And so what's going in your mind as you see these things? What do you think the suspect is going to do with this shotgun that causes you to fire?
I thought he was going to fire on Officer Majors and Officer Romero across the street.
Okay, so is it safe to say that you were fearful for their lives?
Yes.
At any point during this situation, were you fearful for your own safety?
Yes.
And were you fearful for the safety of the two individuals that were also close by?
Yes.
Can you think of anything? After you fire, do you know if anyone else fired?
At the end, as my second last round, I mean, it was a rapid succession of fire, but as that last round or so was fired, I heard a shot fired from my right. I don't know who fired it.
Okay. So you fire 2 to 3, you said?
Yes.
And then after you stop your firing, you hear one other fire.
No, it was within my volley of fire.
Oh, you hear something from the right. Okay.
Around from the right.
Don't know who fired that. What does the suspect do then after he's fired upon?
He immediately fell.
Okay. Did he fall straight down? Did he stagger?
He appeared to me to fall straight down.
Okay.
Very quickly. When he did fall, he fell mostly out of my line of sight. He was blocked by the bed of the truck that I was behind and two trash cans that were in the same line of fire, basically, from me to him. He fell down on the ground. I could see just like his arm or head or something just to the right, so I knew he had gone all the way down, but I couldn't see anything else of his body. I believe it was Officer Majors I saw run across the street to him, and as he reached the guy with the gun that was down, I came around the car and the trash cans. I saw him laying on the ground. I saw he had at least two hits to his upper torso. He was laying perpendicular, parallel with the street. With his head to the east. The shotgun was laying on the ground parallel with him on the sidewalk side. Officer Majors ran up to him, straddled him, and rolled him to his side. I walked up and slid the shotgun about 4 feet away from his body to the west, and I stood and secured the shotgun while Corporal Della Barcinia and or Officer Majors handcuffed the man that was with the gun, and Officer Romero went to the female and the male, who became very excited when we shot, and tried to contain them from approaching the man with the gun.
And so Officer Romero stayed with those two individuals?
Yes.
And when you say excited, were they happy about the situation, or were they upset about the
situation? They were upset.
Okay. So they became upset, and then Officer Romero responded to their location to control them and to prevent them from advancing on you and the suspect and the officers.
Yes.
Okay. Did anyone provide medical attention to the suspect?
We called for the paramedics immediately. I know there was at least two calls for the paramedics. I also had Officer Hom. When he arrived, go to my unit that was parked on Maple Street and retrieve my trauma kit. He returned with the trauma kit, observed the suspect down, indicated that he had a wound to his neck that we did not have the medical ability to render aid to, and that's all I know. I was pulled from the scene at about that time.
All right, and do you know, were you present to see if this individual was transported?
I was not.
Okay. All right.
When you saw that the suspect's motion that right before you shot, is it safe to say that one was different than what he was doing when he was just kind of moving relaxed with the gun?
Yes.
So something in that movement, however you describe it, cause you to feel that's different than everything else, and I have an immediate fear.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you can think of that I didn't ask that you think is relevant?
No, not at this time.
Okay. We'll go ahead and conclude. Time is 06:33 hours.